Second hour is beginning. So, UN unveils action plan to save millions of lives. This is from Reuters. And they state in this article, but the United States, with its $12 trillion economy, would have to raise its contributions considerably. Is that right? We have a $12 trillion economy? What is our deficit, listeners? And doesn't that just completely bypass our deficit? Although the United States is the largest donor in the world and contributes the smallest proportion of its GNP to development aid among 22 industrial nations, this is propaganda, listeners. Washington spends some 0.16% of its $25 billion, and to reach a target of 0.7% of its GNP, it would have to spend $80 billion. Japan, the world's second largest economy, is also low at 0.20%, as is Italy at 0.17%, and Germany at 0.27%. So what is the move here? To bring everybody down to a lower playing field for their life, livelihoods and life. To take from the rich to give to the poor. But what is the rich, and who is the rich, and how many rich people are in these rich countries today? How many people are homeless today in America as compared to 10 years ago, as compared to 20 years ago, as compared to 30 years ago? There's more and more, as time progresses, of poverty-stricken people in each of these countries. Japan, Germany, America. So the whole end goal and direction of all this is to completely take over the world, and each government is part of this, into the UN system, and they maneuver and manipulate. And that's why you have United Cities and Local Governments, which I spent a lot of time on last night, out of Eckley. And certainly Eckley is very interesting, what they want to do, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, Eckley. And I covered last night the U.S. Mayor's statement on global warming, and we're going to have to pass that global warming treaty. It's going to be done. It's going to further decimate this country. So we have tremendous propaganda here and tremendous information sent to me tonight to make this job that I have much easier, as I certainly am dealing with my burdens in my life. Among industrialized nations, only Denmark, Norway, Sweden, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg have spent more than the world target of 0.7% of their gross national product. Britain, Belgium, France, Finland, and Ireland have made promise to each the target before 2015. Quote, we are not asking for one new promise from any country in the world, only to follow through with what has already been committed, in quote, Sachs told a news conference. Well, who did the committing? You know, it was never to be voted on. It was never on a ballot. The countries were committed by individuals in the State Department or whoever else is involved in this in our government. It's just amazing. Quote, we have the world's eyes focused on the tsunami of the Indian Ocean, but the world continues to overlook the silent tsunamis of deaths from malaria, which take every month the number of people that died in the Asian tragedy, end quote. Well, isn't it interesting how Jacques Cousteau and other people representing the UN thought pattern have declared that in order to this planet to survive, Jacques Cousteau stated, 350,000 people a day must die. So why are they concerned about these people dying of malaria and AIDS and all these other diseases if they know the population has to be reduced? Isn't that interesting to think about? And what a set-up situation this is. And what is democracy really? I mean, when you hear the word democracy, what does it make you feel? How do you feel when you hear the word democracy? And they put freedom alongside democracy. Democracy for freedom. Freedom for democracy. Ugh. It chills my spine. So what are they worried about here in Oklahoma? Besides remembering Martin Luther King through the generations, which continues to brainwash us into his thought pattern, which continue to bring more dependence of the black people on handouts, except for the very chosen few that are very prominent in athletic events. Officials plan inner-city code crackdown. That's what they're working on in Oklahoma. Solid mattresses, old couches, and other junk line the curbs of Klassen 10 Penn and dozens of other inner city neighborhoods. Grass and weeds are knee deep in some yards. Houses with peeling paint and damaged roofs are common. For those who maintain their homes, neighborhood nuisance properties drag down property values, spoil the quality of life, and invite criminals. Well, less and less jobs, more and more poverty, less and less ability to keep up your property. Quote, it's depressing to see your neighborhood look like that, end quote. Klassen 10 Penn resident Tiffany Daly said, quote, when you drive home and there is a prostitute on the corner and a drug dealer on the street, those are the most frustrating things. A lot of times there is a tie-in between the criminal activity and the rental homes and that aren't maintained, end quote. And once again, when you lose your job, what are you going to do? You're going to find a way to make a living. You're going to turn to drugs to escape and alcohol to escape. City officials hope a new code enforcement program will clean up inner city streets and force property owners to change their ways. Neighborhood Services Director Mike Randall said city code inspectors will start proactive enforcement this week. Until now, inspectors only cited violators for a complaint or after a complaint. Quote, code violations are a constant thing, end quote, Randall said. Quote, there are many who may clean it up, or they may complain while we clean it up, and then they immediately junk things up again, end quote. Well, I don't know about you, but owning property brings pride. And you want to keep it up nice, unless you are in a financial destitute situation, or if you get tangled up into the drug world, then all bets are off. And the alcohol world is the same way. Alcoholism develops into an illness just like drug addiction does. So that's what they're working on here is code violations, code enforcement, part of Agenda 21 in its plan. And then UN unveils action plan to save millions of lives. Why are they saving millions of lives when people have stated that millions of people have to die? You know what I mean? It gets worse. Oh, man. UN Watch. What is UN Watch? United Nations Watch aims to promote the balanced, fair, and non-discriminatory application of the purposes and principles of the United Nations Charter and to encourage respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms for all without distinction as to race, gender, cultural, language, or religion. UN Watch. Oh, boy. What's the Wednesday Watch got to say? This is all new to me. And I'm finding new stuff all the time, and I have new stuff to cover tonight. And that's why this is the point I've been making. This is the point Darren's been making. More people doing more research is going to help us in the whole big picture of things. And certainly Dennis has done a tremendous job of getting information to me. And he's a real asset, and others can do the same thing. It's most important to keep this in mind. So the Wednesday Watch is very interesting. Well, it dates back to, it dates way back to 1999-98. And it comes up to November 24th, 2004. Interesting. I'm sure it's updatable. Oh, boy. Very interesting, UN Watch. Yeah, Dennis has sent a lot of information. The United Nations Association of the United States of America and the Business Council for the United Nations. Fascinating. And this is only the beginning of what I want to cover, and I didn't even want to cover this because I didn't know it was sent to me. The United Nations Association of the United States of America, UNA-USA, which I've known about for years, but I haven't been covering it lately, is a not-for-profit, nonpartisan organization that supports the work of the United Nations and encourages active civic participation in the most important social and economic issues facing the world today. What is it but a non-governmental organization, right? As the nation's largest grassroots foreign policy organization and the leading center of policy research on the UN and global issues, the UN-USA offers Americans the opportunity to connect with issues confronted by the UN, from global health and human rights to the spread of democracy, equitable development, and international justice. Through its work, UNA-USA educates Americans about the work of the United Nations and encourages public support for strong U.S. leadership in the United Nations. And the point is, for so many years, I've been apologetic for covering so much about the United Nations system. I've been apologetic because there were so many other things going on that I wasn't paying attention to or covering, because if you don't get to this structure and you don't understand the State Department implementation and direction of what's going on with the U.N. system, the U.S. mission to the U.N., what chance do you have? And that's the point. More and more people getting involved, more and more people doing research, more and more people understanding what the UN is all about. So let's go into this origin of the UNA-USA. The American Association for the United Nations, predecessor organization, grew out of the League of Nations Association in 1943. A group of prominent citizens, including first executive director Clark Echelberger, activated AAUN to promote acceptance of the Dumbarton Oaks proposals in the late years of World War II. Among the association's early actions was a nationwide tour of a number of U.S. representatives who set out to spread the word about these important proposals and to gain support for U.S. adherence to the proposed new international organization, the United Nations. When First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, a member of the AAUN Board of Directors, completed her term as a U.S. representative to the UN General Assembly in late 1951, she walked into the AAUN offices and asked to be given something to do for the organization. Her offer was gratefully accepted, and in early 1953, she established an office of AAUN headquarters. Amazing. She's the author, or helped found, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, for my research. This was quite This was the quiet beginning of a major campaign in which Mrs. Roosevelt carried the message of AAUN across the country through personal appearances, recruitment speeches, and fundraising efforts, which continued until her death in November 1962. She was elected chair of board of directors of AAUN in 1961. Well, there's no need to go into this any further. And that's the American Association for the United Nations, AAUN. Fascinating stuff. This is fascinating. We have Vision 2020. I don't know whether we're going to get there, but we'll try it, see if we get there. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And apparently it's going to work. See, another individual has jumped on to get the right information. A very valued individual, for certain. Vision 2020, Puget Sound Regional Council, Regional Transportation and Growth Management Planning. So you see how all this is coming together. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. In the meantime, like I said before, we have BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure. Closure of military bases. The less and less military in America, more and more NATO coming to America, more foreign troops coming to America, more than likely, I can't document it. We certainly know Holloman Air Force Base is part of Germany now. So we have the Puget Sound Regional Council is an association of cities, towns, counties, ports, and state agencies that serves as a forum for developing policies and making decisions about regional growth and transportation issues in the four-county central Puget Sound region. Fascinating. Vision 2020 needs your attention, listeners. Oh, my God. As we look further, Economic Development District Board. In 2003, the cities of Buren, Des Moines, and SeaTac, the Port of Seattle, the operator of Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, and the Puget Sound Economic Development District created the new Economic Strategy Triangle Partnership, NEST. The New Economic Strategy Triangle Partnership, NEST. The partnership was formed to explore the potential for economic growth in South King County communities surrounding Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. The study was funded by a $96,900 grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration. The cities and the port provided matching resources. Interesting. The study identified eight underutilized properties located near the airport to investigate for future development. In a year-long effort, the NEST partners and consultants worked collaboratively to identify the benefits, opportunities, and constraints associated with development. This work included analyzing market conditions, development constraints, the sufficiency of existing infrastructure, vehicle access issues, size and placement buildings, financial feasibility for development, uses most appropriate for the properties, and job creation estimates. Yeah. Based on this work, preliminary development plans and pro forma analysis were prepared for each of the NEST properties considered feasible for future development. The plans are conceptual in nature and represent a single development scenario for each property. The purpose is to provide an indication of the relative development needs and associated development potential for each property. And this is very, very recent information, I believe, but I don't see a date here. January 4th, 2005. Here we see 2004 parking inventory for Central Puget Sound. New Director of Transportation Planning named for Puget Sound Regional Council. That was December 22nd, 04. Well, very much to learn about all this is going on, and some of you are doing some great research to getting us to understanding what's being done at us and on us. Fascinating stuff. So you connect all these dots that are going on. You understand that our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers, etc., are over in Iraq. According to some information, we have foreigners in our military under the Green Card program that is quite amazing. Vision 2020, planning Union County's future. The purpose of Vision 2020 Steering Committee is to assist the county commissioners and citizens of Union County in identifying, analyzing, and researching issues facing the county. Such issues may include, without limitation, education, quality of life, economic development, infrastructure, government, and private sector leadership. Such issues shall be addressed at meetings of the membership and at meetings open to the citizens of Union County. I'm sorry, where's Union County? Vision 2020 is in Monroe, North Carolina. So, planning Union County's future, Vision 2020. There's a big link to Agenda 21, listeners. Under full implementation, in the meantime, we're being chided for not giving enough to the poor of other countries, but yet we don't have any say-so in any of this. Doesn't that just eat at you a little bit? Sure does me. Venezuela says will not tolerate U.S. meddling, from Reuters, dated January 19th. The U.S. government must respect Venezuela's sovereignty and stop meddling if it wants to improve ties with its fourth largest oil supplier, Foreign Minister Ali Rodriguez said on Wednesday. What kind of meddling are we talking about, and what kind of allies does Venezuela have for him to make that statement? As I've never read this before, you're hearing it for the first time as well, I'm sure. Rodriguez was responding to comments by Secretary of State designate Condoleezza Rice, who on Tuesday at her Seattle confirmation hearing criticized President Hugo Chavez for what she called his automatic measures at home, autocratic measures at home, and his negative influence in the region. The exchange is the latest between the Bush administration and Chavez, a left-wing former Army officer and fierce critic of the United States whose close ties to Cuban leader Fidel Castro have irritated Washington. Well, there you have it. Close ties with Fidel Castro. Who does Castro have close ties with? Russia or the former Soviet Union? Look at the connection to Marxism, socialism, communism to that. Quote, we cannot tolerate that they try to put on pressure and try to provoke problems within the country, end quote, Rodriguez told reporters. Quote, the North American people can be sure Venezuela wants better relations, but for this to happen, there must be respect for our sovereignty, end quote. And what are we but implementing the UN system? Because it all stops at the money trail. The U.S. Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF. And the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, which is, from all I know, is the World Bank. and receives no compensation from the United States, which is a federal corporation. So when he talks about this, when he reiterates this to us, and Condoleezza Rice, she's a major player in the game. She's a yes woman. She'll accept the UN system because we've got to live with the UN system. Even though we lost so many lives to bring about the UN system in Korea, which is still an ongoing effort, which is still going to be some kind of an effort in the future. And we lived through Vietnam, 58,000 dead. And I keep harping on this because, and I should stop using the word harp, because we really don't know what harp does, do we? But we can sure suspect, after all that's been going on. Okay, Chavez, who was first elected in 1998, often accuses the United States of financing opponents seeking to overthrow him, and says his Bolivarian revolution provides a regional alternative to U.S. market-oriented policies. In a typical fiery speech Wednesday, the president did not directly respond to Rice's comments, but once again charged that Washington had conceived and backed a short-lived 2002 coup that briefly toppled him. Quote, in Washington, this is the quote, in Washington they exported everything, including coups, he said, end quote. The United States has denied this. Well, we don't know what the Central Intelligence Agency does. We don't know whether he's right or wrong with what he says, but we can certainly suspect that we've been meddling in countries' affairs for years, every country, because we implement the UN direction. And that is the setup that we're living today. That is the setup system that we have. The coalition in the Middle East is the UN system, the shock troops for the UN system. The IMF has control of the wealth of Iraq. We're going into Iran. We're sneaking into Iran, evidently. Where is it going to stop? How can we stop this? When our country's going bankrupt, or been bankrupt, we're dealing with Federal Reserve debt note dollars, we're moving into a cashless society. We have barcodes for everything we purchase. If we pay for it with plastic, it goes on a record, I'm sure, of what we're purchasing. Opponents say Chavez's social reforms to fight poverty are a smokescreen hiding an increasingly undemocratic regime. Well, what's wrong with that? Conflict over his rule, including the brief coup and an oil strike, battered the world's number five petroleum exporter for 3 years. Quote, what is it they don't like about President Chavez? We invite Mrs. Rice to visit the poor barrios of Venezuela to see the answers we bring to the needy masses, end quote, Rodriguez said. These U.S. senators visiting Caracas last week. Three U.S. senators visiting Caracas last week urged Washington to build on its energy ties with Venezuela and seek better cooperation with Chavez to fight terrorism and drug trafficking. Interesting. The point is, what about the next tsunami? Is it going to be hitting South America? And there is the point in play. We'll be back.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Could the honeybee be an accident? The answer is next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
One of the reasons many scientists don't accept evolution is that it is impossible to explain even the simplest of the incredible designs we find in creation as the work of a mindless, impersonal force. Imagine the challenge of explaining the many specialized features of the honeybee as the work of no one. The honeybee has compound eyes which enable him to navigate by the sun, even on cloudy days, because it has a built-in polarized light filter. The antenna of the honeybee contain both his sense of smell and his sense of touch. For this reason, they must be carefully cleaned. So the honeybee has special grooves in his front legs, which are perfectly designed to clean them. The honeybee also has hairs on his body to collect pollen and baskets on his rear legs to carry it. He also has special glands for producing, shaping, and cleaning off wax. When he returns home with news of a good pollen source, the honeybee has a language which he can use to tell others about it. Not only is the honeybee a huge collection of special features united together, but he also lives in a hive which unites thousands of individuals so that they all work together like a single organism. It simply goes against everything we know from science to suppose that millions of years of unplanned accidents could design and build the honeybee.
To get a complete set of transcripts from Creation Moments programs, ask about the book Letting God Create Your Day when you visit us online at creationmoments.com. And join us again for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
As we continue with the broadcast, according to Reuters, Rice, Venezuela's Chavez, very deeply troubling. Secretary of State designate Condoleezza Rice criticized Venezuelan populist leader Hugo Chavez on Tuesday for automatic moves to stifle opposition in major U.S. oil supplier. Yes. Rice reinforced a barrage of U.S. criticism of Chavez over the last few days as the Bush administration worries the firebrand nationalist has rejected his overtures to improve ties after the nation's clashed over democracy last year. Clashed over democracy? What is democracy? Democracy is socialism. Democracy is socialism. Go to the Communist Party USA and you'll see democracy is socialism. Quote, we are very concerned about a democratically elected leader who governs in an illiberal way. That's what she says, illiberal way. And some of the steps he's taken against the media, against the opposition, I think are really very deeply troubling, end quote, Rice said at her Senate confirmation hearing. Quote, we have a long and good history with Venezuela. I think it's extremely unfortunate that the Chavez government has not been constructive, end quote, she said. Well, what's going to happen to him? He'll be toppled. Very, very easy to predict what happens to these people that don't go along with the way democracy is being implemented by the U.S. mission to the United Nations. Chavez accuses Washington of supporting opponents seeking to oust him from office and says Washington has no credibility complaining of rights abuses in Venezuela because its soldiers tortured Iraqi prisoners after an illegal invasion. Well, it's hard to argue with that, isn't it? And we're the bad guy. In the meantime, according to the LA Times, dated January 19th today, support for war in Iraq hits new low. Yes. Support for the war in Iraq has continued to erode, but most Americans still are inclined to give the Bush administration some time to try to stabilize the country before it withdraws U.S. troops, the Los Angeles Times poll has found. The poll conducted Saturday through Monday found that the percentage of Americans who believed the situation in Iraq was, quote, worth going to war over, end quote, had sunk to a new low of 39%. When the same question was asked in a similar poll in October, 44% said it had been worth going to war. Well, who are these people that are doing the voting? The dumbed-down, brainwashed people that don't research and understand what's really going on in the world today. But when asked whether the United States should begin withdrawing troops after Iraq's election January 30th, 53% said the administration should wait to see what the new Iraqi government wanted. More than a third, 30%, said the United States should begin drawing down at least some of its troops' strength. But the point is, the UN's going to remain. The IMF's going to remain in Iraq. Sovereignty was very prominent in the Middle East. Sovereignty is being erased in the Middle East, although they say the only reason why we went to Iraq was to regain Iraq's sovereignty to its people. And there you have the Hegelian dialectic. This article continues. Americans are almost evenly divided over how long U.S. forces should stay in Iraq, and found 47% said they would like to see most of the troops out within a year, while 49% say they would support a longer deployment, including 37% who say the troops should remain as long as it takes to ensure and stabilize the country. The results suggest that while Americans have grown more pessimistic about the chances of success in Iraq, most are willing to give President Bush some time to try to turn the operation into a success. And how do you do that when you don't know who your enemy is? That is the bottom line. That is the mess in place. That is the way it is. So in the meantime, in April 4th through the 8th of 2005, from Nairobi, Kenya, the 20th session of the Governing Council, UN Habitat, is going to happen. That's on the way. Well, let's go find some more information. Let's learn about this, because most have never even heard of this before. How many know what UNIFEM is? United Nations Development Fund for Women. UNIFEM. A major chapter of Agenda 21 is to address women in positions of prominence, and I don't know what else they plan. According to Jeannie Soderman, who's been a guest, women follow directions better. UNIFEM. It's on the website AmericanExpose.com for you to peruse for yourself. UNIFEM is the Women's Fund for the United Nations. And what's happening? But UNIFEM is responding to the tsunami tragedy. It's just one thing after another, isn't it? UNIFEM partners in South and Southeast Asia and in the Horn of Africa are taking immediate action to respond to the tragedy and horrifying loss of lives, livelihoods, and communities. The contributions of women's grassroots and advocacy organizations in the region will be central to relief and reconstruction effort. Their work has not only an immediate impact, but is needed for the long-term rebuilding of shattered communities. One UNIFEM partner from a project that has been working with home-based workers in Sri Lanka writes, "A friend of ours, prominent activist, has survived by climbing onto the rooftop of her house located in the east. She has lost everything once again. This is her second or third time of displacement. First displaced from the north and a result of the war. Then back in Colombo and other places. Now as things are working towards peace, tsunami. UNIFEM will build on existing partners and networks." As I continue with this dissertation about UNIFEM, "that work to promote and protect women's rights and leadership to join the overall UN effort for relief and reconstruction in the region. UNIFEM will focus on voice, safety and protection, livelihoods and resource mobilization, etc." You'll be able to check this out for yourselves, because at this point in time, oh, I thought we'd have UNITAR up here. We got UNICEF instead. UNITAR is something else, and it's not here. Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. United Nations Institute for Training and Research is very important to understand as well, as this big mess continues to show itself. When you do the research, you find out and you see and you realize what needs to be done. More people have to be active in exposing what's going on in the world today. And in your local communities, how the implementation of code enforcement is going on. UNITAR programs, and once again, that is the United Nations Institute for Training and Research. Training to sustain human development is what they want to do. Fascinating stuff. The United Nations Institute for Training and Research, UNITAR, was established in 1995 as an autonomous body within the United Nations with the purpose of enhancing the effectiveness of the organization through appropriate training and research. UNITAR is governed by a board of trustees and is headed by an executive director. The institute is supported by voluntary contributions from governments, intergovernmental organizations, foundations, and other non-governmental sources. UNITAR has the following functions: to conduct training programs in multilateral diplomacy and international cooperation for diplomats accredited to the United Nations and national officials involved in work related to United Nations activities, to carry out a wide range of training programs in the field of social and economic development, to carry out result-oriented research, in particular, research on and for training, and to develop pedagogical materials, including distance learning training packages, workbooks, as well as software and video training packs, to establish and strengthen cooperation with other intergovernmental organizations, facilities, and academic institutions, in particular for the development of research and research on and for training. UNITAR, people. UNITAR. We have United Cities and Local Governments up there on the website now. You can learn about that. And you can get all these connected dots together on the website, AmericanExpose.com. You can see how all this is being moved into certain directions of command and control structure. You can see how this is being engineered as you listen to this entire program tonight. You learn about all this. The United Nations Environment Program, the UNEP. What are they talking about? The Asian tsunami disaster. Environmental issues, a key focus in the recovery effort. Environmental issues. In other words, World Heritage Sites, no human living zones, animal or wildlife corridors. A massive international relief effort is underway in the Indian Ocean region affected by the 26 December 2004 tsunami. While the initial focus is on the humanitarian dimension, including the provision of food, clean water, and shelter, the environment has also been impacted and is likely to become a key focus in the weeks and months to come. As a result, UNEP has already begun looking at the secondary risks and urgent environmental needs in order to plan for the recovery and reconstruction. To achieve this goal, the UNEP Executive Director established a task force to ensure that UNEP acts under a single structure and uses only one voice. The task force is also working to ensure that environmental issues are integrated within the FLASH appeal, that's the FLASH appeal, as well as the recovery and reconstruction plans. And they have a situation report from the UNEP. Why do I need to cover it? This will take forever to pull up. Well, listeners, you come to conclusions, you come to realize what's being engineered, you come to understand what's happening, but nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to pay attention. And then as I covered last week from the U.S. Department of State, the report on global anti-Semitism, why in the world would that be going on? You know, why would this be going on? And see, anti-Semitism has plagued the world for centuries. Taken to its most far-reaching and violent extreme, the Holocaust, anti-Semitism resulted in the deaths of millions of Jews and the suffering of countless others. Yeah, but really, what was the amount of people that really died in the Holocaust? Was it 6 million or 600,000? How are we ever going to get to the bottom of that? But you certainly see a Zionist connection to all this. And, U.S. government actions to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. The U.S. government is committed to monitoring and combating anti-Semitism throughout the world as an important human rights and religious freedom issue. As President Bush said when he signed the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act on October 16, 2004, quote, defending freedom also means disrupting the evil of anti-Semitism, end quote. Annually, the U.S. government of the state I'm sorry, the U.S. Department of State publishes the International Religious Freedom Report and the Country Reports on Human Rights Practices. Both detail incidents and trends of anti-Semitism worldwide. The State Department's instructions to U.S. embassies for the 2004 Country Reports on Human Rights Practices explicitly require them to describe acts of violence against Jews and Jewish properties, as well as actions governments are taking to prevent this form of bigotry and prejudice. Absolutely amazing. Oh, my computer froze up. Oh, boy, am I stuck. Last night I covered from ECLE, Resilient Communities and Cities Initiative. Certainly that is on the website. And very, very well worth your time and investment. At the bottom of this ECLE page, you'll find the information booth. And you will see all the different links to connecting dots to all this. And you'll learn about it. You'll be able to see this for yourself, and you'll be able to pass this information on to others and hope that they understand what's being maneuvered and implemented here in America. In ECLE, you have Cities 21. The International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, ECLE, started the Cities 21 pilot project in the fall of 1998 with the goal of engaging ECLE members and their communities in evaluating their local sustainable development strategies and performance in three areas of mutual concern: governance, Local Agenda 21, climate change, that's the Kyoto Protocol, and freshwater management. ECLE's intention was to create a common framework for its local government members to evaluate their local as well as their joint or cumulative progress towards sustainable development. To do this, a set of 70 core indicators governing the three areas of mutual concern were selected. And the participating local governments set about collecting data for the indicators. In the end, 30 local governments were able to provide detailed data on most of the indicators and followed through on their project requirements. And you can see more background on the Cities 21 pilot project. The final results of the Cities 21 pilot project are presented in Measuring Progress, a final report of the Cities 21 project. The report is detailed, and it has much information for you to see for yourself. ECLE and the United Nations Center for Human Settlements are collaborating to build a network of local, national, and regional urban observatories to form the GUO network. GUO is Global Urban Observatory, and to contribute to the development of global urban knowledge infrastructure. Well, isn't that amazing? ECLE is working with cities and national governments in Anglophone Africa and in Latin America and Central and Eastern Europe to establish local urban observatories, or LUOs, in at least 8 cities and national urban observatories, NUOs, in at least 2 countries in each region. I don't know what it's going to take to get people motivated, do you? Global Urban Observatory? How about the city's environment report on the Internet? ECLE and UNEP Grid Arundel are developing a formal partnership between the Cities 21 and Karori Cities Environment Reports on the Internet. It is available to assist ECLE's local government members with the development of individual municipal websites to geographically illustrate indicator data using the CEROI template. That's CEROI template. Cities Environment Reports on the Internet. Oh my. Where is that going to take us? How about Global Urban Observatory? You've got to be joking. In the city summit in Istanbul, or at the city summit in Istanbul, 1996, member states of the United Nations committed themselves to implement the Habitat Agenda through policies and plans of action designed at each level in cooperation with all interested parties. All partners, including local authorities, are asked in the Habitat Agenda to monitor and evaluate their own performance in working towards sustainable urban development and adequate shelter for all. The United Nations Center for Human Settlements, UNCHS, is responsible for implementing the Habitat Agenda worldwide. That's the United Nations Center for Human Settlements, UNCHS, is responsible for implementing the Habitat Agenda worldwide to help local authorities, national governments, and their partner groups in monitoring progress in implementing the Habitat Agenda. UNCHS established the Global Urban Observatory Program, together with the Urban Indicators Program and the Best Practices and Local Leadership Program, make up the GUO. Global Urban Observatory. Heckley is participating in the development of the Global Urban Observatory through its involvement in regional capacity building in Africa, Latin America, and Central and Eastern Europe. Heckley has helped to establish national urban observatories, NUOs, and local urban observatories, LUOs, in Uganda, Zimbabwe, Chile, Ecuador, Poland, and Bulgaria. Decision makers and technicians at both the local and national levels in these countries have received training on indicators, collection, and policy development. They will collect data for 23 key urban indicators. Isn't that amazing? And there's a major chart here. Oh, we're just about out of time. That was a very brisk 2 hours, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, more than likely. And I don't know what to say, people. At this point in time, it's big, and it gets bigger and bigger. And the situation and the created crises that bring about these problems is very, very easy to document and inform others about. The Global Urban Observatory addresses the urgent need to improve the worldwide base of urban knowledge, they say, by helping governments, local authorities, and organizations of the civil society develop and apply policy-oriented urban indicators, statistics, and other urban information. Worldwide totalitarian control is what this is all about. This latest tsunami disaster is a very good way of controlling and manipulating populations. As weather modification, environmental modification shows itself in my thoughts in a very big way. I'll be back tomorrow night. Pray for this Republic, listeners, and support this broadcast and the network however you can. The information is on AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K. Good night.